The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Well, the Defense Department has confirmed videos taken in 2019 are legitimate images of UFOs taken by Navy personnel.
One of the three objects was described as a metallic blimp, but it moved like a rocket. Videos of the UFOs were leaked online last year, and a task force is now investigating. U.S. intelligence agencies have been directed to give unclassified reports about UFOs to Congress in June. So this could finally be maybe a floodgate where we talk about what those really are.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So are you excited about this UFO report that ABC7 in New York just mentioned? I want to dig into it. You know, what does it mean? And what could it possibly be? My next guest is going to join me in a couple of minutes here, Dr. Stephen Barr, brilliant astrophysicist. You know, I'm going to speak probably out of school, but based on conversations I had with him before, he made the case it's kind of hard for, you know, intelligent life to traverse the distances that would have to be traveled to visit our planet. So I'll find out, you know, if that's the case, and what are we witnessing here? You know, there's been a lot of activity, and there's a big report coming out. It could come out any day now. They're expecting it maybe Tuesday. When that happens, I know there'll be a lot of coverage being given to this by, you know, national media. I'm not sure what's going to come out of it. I don't know how much more video or testimony we'll see, radar images, et cetera. But it raises questions. And it's seen that the Catholic scientists are having a Society of Catholic Scientists, which I think Dr. Barr actually founded as one of the initial founders of it. They're having a conference on extraterrestrial life and Catholicism. I think it's next weekend. And I've invited him to join us. We're going to tap into that. What does it mean? You know, if there are UFOs, if there are the unidentified aerial phenomena in the sky, doesn't mean that it's extraterrestrial. Could it be rooted in the spiritual? Could it be, you know, is there a logical explanation for it other than, you know, our adversary having made a technological leap? A lot of questions get raised, you know, how do we explain this? So the Pentagon, if you're not familiar with the story, I'll just give you kind of the 101 on it. And we'll see what comes out. I'm a little hesitant. Next week, probably Tuesday, they're saying they're going to release what were previously top secret documents. Okay, these were top secret. And they related to military jargon, what they called unidentified aerial phenomena. The new term is not UFO. I remember seeing Hillary Clinton one time doing a late night show, and somebody said, oh, you know, if she was running for president, if you become president, will you know, you're going to let us know about the UFOs? She goes, well, of course, but, you know, they're not called UFOs anymore. They're called UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. And you know, ordinary people call them, you know, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Same thing, right? So, look, you probably have seen, because it's been all over the place, that very captivating video from those Navy pilots who captured on their radar screens objects that there's no explanation for. They looked like alien craft. The speeds in which they moved, and the capabilities that they possess, and you have competent eyewitnesses like fighter pilots and those who were flying with them, witnessing tic-tac-shaped objects, you know, with no heat signatures, no wings, no propulsion, and yet could move at unbelievable speeds. One reports that some of these objects moved at over 43,000 miles an hour. I mean, 43,000 miles. Can you imagine that? It's pretty amazing. One report from the USS Omaha came out, I think it was about a week ago I saw this, of them being swarmed, you know, off the coast of San Diego. That was recently released. And most of the reports, of course, they come from the Navy and either the aviators or from the ships. But there have been commercial aircraft as well that have encountered these strange objects. And maybe you're a pilot. If you're a pilot and you've seen this, I'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call anytime, 888-914-9149. But I spoke about a week ago with Jazz Shaw from Hot Air. And we talked about what this would mean. And Jazz raised possibilities of what these things could be. One, It could be our adversaries. It could be countries like China or Russia that have made technological leaps. They have made new developments we don't know about, and they're invading our airspace with impunity, right? That should concern us if that's the case. If they can move at these speeds, that should concern us. I mean, you lose air dominance, you lose the war. That, of course, would represent, I think, a tremendous intelligence failure also on our part. And I would think that the government would know whether these are adversaries or not. Another possibility, and this could really be the case, is that these are our own top secret, dark money technologies. The groups that have developed these things, those dark money groups, DARPA and others that have developed things and are testing them on friendlies, right? On our own military. You know, and to see how our technology would be able to deal with something like this. And that happened before when the stealth bomber came out. Just as a quick side note here, I remember I saw a documentary on the stealth one time. And look, if you go from looking at B-1 bombers or any other aircraft, and then you see the stealth looked like something alien, didn't it? You know, the way it was curved, how it was black, it was unlike anything we've ever seen before. And the government said to its top radar personnel, I think they were out in Arizona or somewhere out in the West, they said, hey, at 1 o'clock, we want to fly an aircraft over this ridge, and we want you to track us. So they set up all the radar stations, they had everything all set, they were ready for this craft to come by. And they flew the stealth. And then they radioed down, and the person says, well, when are you going to fly? We have not seen anything yet. They'd already flown by testing our own technology against our own technology. So, you know, I think, well, is it possible that, you know, unlike the stealth, which was a pretty amazing leap, you know, it allowed us to fly in other airspace with impunity. What if we made a new leap? I don't know. I don't know. Others have raised the possibility this could be demonic activity. And maybe it's a great demonic deception. We could get into that. And then the other possibility, the final one, it has come from someplace other than Earth. It's not ours. It's not our adversaries. It can't be explained. It's no astronomical or, you know, atmospheric anomaly. It's not a trick of the radar or some other phenomena. And maybe they came from within our solar system. Maybe they came from another dimension. Maybe they came from somewhere else. We'll talk about all that. If the force of possibility, I would think that's more disturbing than any of the other ones. Some may love the idea. I certainly hope that these are friendly beings, if that's indeed the case. It would certainly raise a great dialogue, though, because we would say we are not alone in the universe, right? And if that's the case, then we go down this path of theological questions, right? What's it say about original sin? What's it say about redemption, about baptism, about eternal life, about the fall? So much to talk about. And I'm delighted to have with me today Dr. Stephen Barr. He's a professor of physics at the University of Delaware, and he is the founder of the Society of Catholic Scientists. And it's great to have him. And if you are a scientist, you may want to check that out. And I'll get the website for you. I think it's societyofcatholicscientists.org. Or no, I think it's catholicscientists.org. It's catholicscientists.org. But check that out. You may want to become a member. And Dr. Barr's done research on theoretical particle physics and a whole litany of other things. And great writer, great lecturer, and a great friend of the show. It's good to have him back once again. Doctor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, I love talking to you about this. This is such fascinating stuff. Let me start with what I had said. I don't like to put words in people's mouth. But one thing I took away from you years ago when we were on talking about this issue was just, you know, light travels, what, 186,000 miles per second, right? And in order to get to some of these other stars, I mean, take light years, and some of these stars have already burned out. And you made the case that, gosh, it would take forever to we don't have the Einstein, right? He said you can't travel faster than the speed of light. Fill me in. Let's just talk about the vastness of space and whether it's likely that these could be with these visitors, if that's indeed what they are, could come from our own solar system or beyond.
Well, you know, I think they, in theory they could, but there are, if you talk to most people in physics or astrophysics and those subjects, they're very skeptical that, that we'll have alien creatures coming to Earth.
Right.
and or interacting with us. And the reason for that is that it would be a tremendous coincidence. First of all, they would have to be relatively close to us in the universe. If they're in another galaxy, forget about it. It would take hundreds of thousands of years to travel at this even close to the speed of light from there to here, and you know, that's just not going to happen. But you know, there are stars that are relatively nearby that are probably tens or hundreds of light years away that are habitable. So you know, one could imagine if one of them developed a what you might call a rational alien species, right, that they could make the trip. However, there's something that a lot of people don't take into account, which is it's very unlikely that suppose you take a star that's say 100 light years away or 200 light years away. Well, first of all, it'll still take 100 to 200 years to get here. Okay,
right.
And that's a long time for for us, several lifetimes, you know, so this is not something that they're going to be doing all the time, right? But it's very unlikely that such a nearby star, that the alien life, if it ever exists, would exist right now at the same time in the history of the universe that we do. It would be a tremendous coincidence. And maybe I should really explain that.
Yeah, no, explain that. That's a great point.
Okay, it took about 4.5 billion years from the time the Earth formed till we showed up on the scene, 4.5 billion years. Suppose on some planet 100 light years away, it didn't take 4.5 billion years. It took 4.6 billion years.
Yeah.
That means that those creatures won't be coming onto the scene for another 100 million years.
Wow.
Or suppose it took 4.4 billion years on this other planet. Well, that means that they came into being, that they arose 100 million years ago. What's the chance that their civilization would still be around now? Do you think human civilization is going to last for 100 million years? I think we'll be lucky to make it another couple thousand. So, in other words, for them to be our contemporaries, this is the big point. It's not even the distance away. That is a big point, because if they're more than a few hundred light years away, forget about it. They're ever coming here. But even if you didn't worry about that, the chance that alien creatures would happen to be our contemporaries, be alive right now,
yeah,
when the history of the universe is so long and civilization is like a blip,
yeah,
the entire human history from the time, you know, civilization began 5,000 years ago or so, that's a twinkling of an eye in the history of the universe. And so the idea that we would be in sync, that these beings would just be on the scene exactly when we are on the scene, is just fantastically improbable. That's why, if people are worried that these are UFOs or alien spacecraft come to Earth, I think they should rest easy at night, because it's just very, very, I don't know what the heck they are,
right,
but that they're alien spacecraft, it seems extremely far-fetched from a scientific point of view, and I don't think many scientists, many physicists would take it.
Well, some throw out the idea that, you know, maybe they're interdimensional. That's a whole other theory. I mean, are there other dimensions other than ones that
Very well may be other dimensions. But if our universe, the part of the universe we live in, out to as far as we can see, and we can see out 10 billion light years. So it's three dimensional. I mean, as far as space goes, of course, there's time, but the space is three-dimensional. Now, in some contemporary theories that people are investigating, there are extra space dimensions, but they're irrelevant to this kind of thing, because these extra space dimensions are kind of coiled up or into subatomic scale. You can't travel in these other dimensions more than a tiny distance. It's less than the size of an atom, you know, so there are no beings living in those extra dimensions. Right. So people, you know, that sounds good in science, beings from extra dimensions, you know, it sounds like a 1950s movie, but that's not something that is real, okay? Physicists would not talk about that.
Let me open the phone. So if you want to get in on the conversation, my guest today is astrophysicist Dr. Stephen Barr. We are anticipating what's going to come out in this report by the Pentagon. Congress has asked for an accounting of what they know about these unidentified aerial phenomena that have been reported for quite a while now. Some of it is just absolutely stunning. If you've seen any video of it, it raises a lot of questions. We're looking right now at the probability, if they are indeed extraterrestrial, how likely is it? And then, Doctor, to your point that we you know, that we live at the same time, you know, as vast as the universe is, and in terms of how slow the universe, ultimately moves. That is that's such a great point. The number 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you want to get in, before I go to the phones, let me ask you just one other, I guess, physics type of a question. We can't go back in time. Some people speculate that you know, it's time travel. You know, if you can find a device that allows you to go faster than the speed of light, in theory, you might be able to go back in time. Address that. You could go out and come back, and time will have elapsed. Maybe, you know, I go faster than the speed of light, but when I return, you know, it's a thousand years later or something like that. I'm still my same age, or, you know, a couple days later or whatever it is. But
that's
the
true.
Possibility, I mean, of going back in time. You can't do that. And some people are saying, well, maybe they developed technology a millennia from now, and they're coming back at a very critical moment for the human race. You know, they're shutting off nuclear power plants or doing some of these other things. Maybe we're on the eve of something.
If you want a sort of a mathematical proof that time travel is impossible, no one has a mathematical proof. But I think I'm not an astrophysicist. I'm more, I would be called a particle physicist. Right. But it does, you know, the difference is pretty small. But but if you ask people in fundamental physics, and I do research in a pretty fairly fundamental branch of physics called particle physics, they'll all tell you that it's not a real possibility. Time travel is not a real possibility. It's everything we know about how the fundamental laws of physics tells us that it's not possible. You can't rigorously prove it at this point, but people have, you know, thought about this for 100 years, and it's not a real possibility. Almost certainly impossible. So that's another thing. And of course, you know, and the reason why there are many reasons, but, you know, if you could travel back in time, it raises all sorts of paradoxes, and you could go back and you could kill your grandparents before they ever had your parents, you know, and then you get a logical contradiction, you know. So modern physics is one of the fundamental principles of modern physics is what's called the principle of causality, which in physics means that a physical cause always comes before its effect. Mm-hmm. If A causes B, that means A has to happen before B in time. And that's common sense. And everything we know about relativity, that principle still holds. And so I can't go back in time and cause something that's in my past. I can't now do something that causes something in the past. That violates this fundamental principle of physics. It's called the principle of causality, which is a very common sense principle. There's a lot of cool stuff. I'm a science fiction buff. I love this stuff. I read stories about time travel all the time, aliens, all sorts. One of my favorite authors is Philip K. Dick, you know, famous science fiction writer. Sure. But a lot of this stuff, of course, is fiction and is not real life.
And the laws of physics are the laws of physics, no matter what part of the universe or what galaxy you're in. So,
you mentioned earlier in your intro, you know, demonic activity. Well, I believe in demonic activity. It's all around us. All you have to do is look at the moral collapse of our society. That's demonic activity. Frankly,
Before we get to that, because it's well worth the conversation. I've got to take a break because that's a whole other area, and there have been some people made some really strong cases for it. I want to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll take your calls. Carlos, who's in Austin, Texas, back in the 70s, he says his father had a small store, and he actually knew a retired Army general or Army guy who investigated UFOs. We'll get his story, and everyone else on hold, we'll get your calls. Rose in California's got a question about the demonic presence of UFOs. Could this be a demonic manifestation? We'll look at that and much more. If you want to get in on the conversation, my guest today, particle physicist, Dr. Stephen Barr. I always enjoy talking to him. He hails from the great state of Delaware. And the number for you, 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
One, zero. 60 seconds.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, it becomes an unidentified flying object.
While Neil and Buzz were on the lunar surface, Neil switched to the medical channel and spoke directly with the chief medical officer, saying, they're here, they're parked on the side of the crater, they're watching us.
I spotted a lot of stuff that seemed to not belong on the moon.
And it has very distinct features of a satellite dish. It's got the dish itself, the crater shape. It's got a long spike that appears to come out of the middle. All sorts of stuff that looks exactly like a satellite dish on Earth looks.
There's an interesting picture on the moon that does appear to show something that could be a bridge, maybe a pipe, could be an inching worm.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I was always intrigued by what Buzz Aldrin, second man to step on the surface of the moon, had to say. And a lot of astronauts up there, I've spoken to several of them who've been on the broadcast and asked if they think there's intelligent life out there. Some say yes. They actually make the case that there is. Just looking at it from physics, from mathematics, from time, my guest, Dr. Stephen Barr, points out that, you know, it's not that it's totally improbable, but it's more than likely not the case. And Doctor, you and I were talking during the break. I said, look, we just took to the air 100 years ago. I mean, we just learned to fly, let alone pierce the clouds and go into space. Think about how many years, you know, we were on horse and buggy. You know, we toiled on the Earth. Right. You wonder, you know, where other civilizations have to be, and based on the distance, whether or not, you know, their sun's burned out and a whole litany of other things. So there's a lot going on. Go ahead, Doc. No, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't, but I should mention, because I'm sort of, where I am right now is in a hotel because waiting for a conference to start, which our Society of Catholic Scientists is holding in Washington, D.C. on Saturday and Sunday. And its main theme is extraterrestrial life. So it's kind of it's great timing that people have gotten very interested in this subject, since our annual meeting is yeah, about half of it's devoted to that. And so we're actually going to have, I should say, people can watch the talks by live stream. And if they go to the Catholic Scientists website, and you can find that by Googling Catholic and scientists, and you'll find the Society of Catholic Scientists, and you go to the website, and you go to news and announcements, you'll see that the new announcement is about the meeting. And if you click on that, you'll see the schedule of talks and the link for watching it by live stream. But we're going to have some very big name scientists who are Catholic talking about it. Jonathan Lunin, who's an astrophysicist at Cornell, Karen Oberg, who is an astrophysicist at Harvard, both Catholic converts, I should mention, yeah, and several others. And one Catholic theologian who's a good friend of mine is going to talk about the theology of extraterrestrial life and what if there were rational extraterrestrial species. One of the interesting talks we're going to have is by a non-Catholic, a Christian, but non-Catholic Christian, who is one of the world's leading evolutionary biologists. He's from University of Cambridge in the UK, and his name is Simon Conway Morris. And he's going to give a talk, and I'm not 100% sure what he's going to say, but I think what he's going to say is that if there are rational extraterrestrial species out there, highly intelligent species out there, they're very likely to be very similar to us in many basic ways. And so that's kind of interesting. You know, they're probably, I'm not so exact, I don't want to put words in his mouth because I haven't heard his talk. But based on what we know about how evolution works on Earth, it's very likely, you know, they'll have eyes and, you know, and they'll have a lot of the features that we have and similar senses and so on and so forth. So the aliens are probably going to be a lot like us in many ways. So that's going to be interesting to hear that talk. So anyway, we have there's one of the talk by a young fellow, a young professor at Hillsdale College, is going to be about the searches for extraterrestrials, attempts to detect, you know, to communicate with or to hear communications from extraterrestrials. and where that stands and what the prospects for that are. So it's very timely.
Wow, fascinating. That's awesome. Yeah. Cannot wait. And Karen Oberg has been on the program in the past, and we've spoken to her. I know you've got a lot of people. There are scientists who want to join your society. Let me give you a quick plug, then we'll grab some calls. How do they do that? How do they get connected?
Oh, okay. Well, we're growing pretty fast. I mean, we have up about 1,500 members now. We've only been around for 5 years, a little less than 5 years. So we're growing quite steadily. And just go to our website and go click on join and first read the membership criteria, because there are very strict membership criteria. You have to be a scientist or a science student. But you have to look very carefully. We have a lot of people who apply who, you know, are lawyers or accountants and people who are not scientists. And that clogs up our application. But if you read just read the membership requirements, and then it's very easy. You fill out a form that takes about 30 seconds and to apply. And
sounds
the dues
great.
Are quite low.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's grab a couple quick calls. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. Carlos has been waiting. He's got a story to share with you. Carlos, welcome. You're on the air with Dr. Barr.
How you doing, sir?
Hey,
hi, Carlos. Yes, the only comment I have, and I'll try to make it brief here, is that I'm 63 years old now. So, but back in the 70s, when I was going to college, my father had a small business store. And there was a retired serviceman that before he actually retired, he was assigned to investigate these UFOs. And he would go throughout the world. And when he retired, why he went into my father's store, I have no idea. But he started talking. And he was telling my father that it was actually true, that they are... that they do come and go day in and day out. He says, and the government does have, that they do have, what's the word, that they do have evidence, but that the government is not going to leach that out, basically because... Right. There's no way that we can actually compete with these UFOs. We're not going to be able to catch them at all, period.
Right.
You know.
All right.
The gentleman actually ended up passing away. His wife actually came back into the store one day, and my father was asked her, you know, how's your husband? And she said, well, he passed away. He says, he just could not take the pressure of knowing that they do come and go, that they do come and go every day. Yeah. And he actually got to see one of these extraterrestrials, and he said, they're not a pretty sight.
All right. But, hey, Carlos, let me hold you on that point, because we got a lot to talk about here.
Right.
I'm grateful for your testimony.
So you know, clearly there are unidentified or flying objects or unidentified aerial phenomena, but they are if we know what they are, then they're identified. So there's a lot of these things that have been reported over the years, and we don't know what they are, and I doubt that anybody knows what some of them are. I suspect that if there's some kind of technology, I think the overwhelming probability is it's earthly, it's terrestrial technology, probably American, because we're more advanced than both the Russians and the Chinese. And one thing they know that's interesting is it could be sort of countermeasures. Like if somebody in a jet is looking and sees something moving with his electronics, sees something moving very fast. Is that something moving very fast, or is that possibly some advanced electronic countermeasures that the U.S. is testing to fool pilots into thinking
that's a great theory.
That there's something moving in a certain way? So we don't know what kind of classified research is going on to fool pilots into thinking they're seeing things that they're not, for example. So, you know, there's so many things we don't know about this, and
Right.
Certainly a lot of the early UFO sightings, I think people would agree, were probably back in the 50s and 60s, were advanced U.S. aircraft. Now,
I would agree with that. Yeah. I guess the good news, Carlos, is that they're friendly, because if they have this if they have this technology and they can operate with impunity, you know, we would be in big trouble. So if that is indeed an authentic story, and the eyewitness there did indeed translate what he saw, that'd be good news. Because, you know, technologically speaking, if somebody has this capability, whether it's an adversary or an alien, I don't know how you defend against it when, some of these objects, they claim, have dropped from 80,000 feet in the sky in 2 seconds. Some are submergible. And to your point, I never thought of it. Maybe this is, a manipulation of technology to make it appear like that's the case. But then you have the counter arguments, like the pilots off the USS Nimitz who take their, F-15s into the sky, or 16s, whatever they're flying, and they see this giant Tic Tac. It's there. It turns. It pivots. It accelerates at, supersonic speed. Doesn't leave sonic booms. It shows up 60 miles away in just a couple seconds. It's traveling at 43,800 miles. An hour. It's just absolutely crazy, some of this stuff. So there's a lot of mysteries.
I can't explain it. But you're right. I mean, if hypothetically, I think the chances are practically zero. But if there were very highly advanced alien technology that were at least, and that's what this is, then we're in great danger, because, as you say, there would be no defending against it. And the history of the human race, whenever highly, much more technically advanced cultures encounter much more backward ones, the history of that's not very pleasant usually.
No, not at all.
And I don't think, if people are excited like they want this to be aliens, I think they're a little bit crazy, because that would be terrible. Really very bad news for us. It is also hard to understand. You see, it seems to me if people are that able to make things that advanced, then they would also be able to keep out of sight if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And it seems to me if they're visiting Earth, they either want to be seen, either they want to make contact with us and interact, or they don't. And if they want to make contact, they would have done it. And if they don't, they wouldn't have been making themselves so obvious.
Do you know what the problems I have?
I don't understand why they would play this sort of tease with us. They would come and let people see them all over the place, but not make contact. What's the point of that? That doesn't make any sense to me. They would either be to keep out of sight, or they would just make contact, and I don't see why they would be playing these games with us.
Doctor, one of the problems I have with this, to that point, if they have made this technological leap, right? Why are so many of these UFOs crashing? what's going on?
Why are they allowing them to be? I mean, first of all, why are they allowing themselves to be seen by us? Like in Star Trek. They had the prime directive or something that they shouldn't interfere with more backward species to.
Right.
They shouldn't interfere with their development.
Right.
Well, if that's why they're not making contact, they're doing a pretty bad job of letting themselves be seen. Right.
That's true. Violating the prime directive.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I think the trouble with a lot of these ideas is when you start thinking about them in sort of like what would people or even that rational aliens do.
Right. Right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, I tend to agree. Let's take a few more calls. Roy has been waiting in Madison, Wisconsin. Roy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, and hello to your guests. This is another reason I love your show, Drew. And I love the Catholic Church. I want to get home and Google Catholic scientists immediately. But your guests also mentioned about two of my favorite movies, Interstellar and Contact.
That's a good one.
You're talking about Contact, yeah. And Interstellar, when he went out far enough and he aged, but my question about that was, when you get far enough out, if you're out far enough past the speed of light, then you can see it coming towards you, these pictures and visions and light things that were produced thousands or how many years ago. But that was Interstellar. But my main question to you guys, and it's just a theory thing, but I love this, is in the movie Contact, the great line that I remember from that movie, Jodie Foster, you guys know what movie I'm talking about. And they build this machine so that they can go into space and through a wormhole and such, you guys. Mm-hmm. And when they get back, she says, you believe me? She was an atheist, the scientist. Right. And right. Do you have faith or not? You know, I think Matthew McConaughey was the preacher. And right. and the question, one of the generals said, well, how do we know if we build this thing? It's like us comparing our level of sophistication to an anthill in Africa. When we destroy an anthill in Africa, do we even think about when we step on it? And that's the difference in comparison of their comparison right. of where they are. And where, would that come in, enter in any thoughts? And I'll just listen to this.
All right, Roy, thanks. Show. Good to hear from you. You know, I'm always welcoming you back home to the church, so let me know when you enter, okay?
I love the Catholic Church. Yeah, thanks.
I love it, Roy. Thanks. All right, Doctor. I think you picked up some of his points.
I think, you know, it's an interesting question how far technology can proceed. Now, I think we know a lot about the laws of physics now. I mean, the things we do now, of course, would have been regarded as utterly inconceivable 100 years ago. You know, 200 years ago, radio and things. I actually think that the idea that people will be able to just go faster and faster, you know, build ships that can do some of the things that are claimed, these UFOs, I don't think that's actually plausible, because we know a lot about how physics works. And I really think one of the big advances in the last 50 years, it's not going faster and faster and faster. It's computers and things like that. When you go from the 19th century to the 20th, you go from, you know, riding horses to flying jet aircraft. But when we've gone from the 20th century to the 21st, you know, it's not just now we have jet aircraft that go 1,000 times faster. We don't.
Right.
The jet aircraft now are not that much different from the jet aircraft that we had in the 50s. I mean, so there are technology. The big technological leaps in the last 50 years have to do with computer tech and, you know, information.
Yeah, that's true.
The processing and all that kind of stuff. So I think the idea that it's just the aerospace technology of the aliens is going to allow them to jump across galaxies in a day. First of all, that's not possible.
Well, let me ask you about that. Pick up on that point, though, because is there some who theorize that if you created a device that could bend space, then you could mm-hmm. travel vast distances in a very short time?
Right.
Now, I don't know whether that would be a possibility or not.
Well, you know, it's a hypothetical possibility in the following sense. You could imagine you have something that's called a wormhole. It would have to be something that in the jargon is called a Minkowski wormhole. And I don't know if people still play the old game Clue, but you know, you in Clue, you go out a door on one side of the board, and then you find yourself in a room on the other side of the board. You know, there's sort of like shortcuts, and a wormhole of this type would be kind of a shortcut through space, where you sort of just leap a great distance in one step. But it's not nobody knows. Well, we know enough to say that unless the laws of physics were quite a bit different, I mean, unless there are things in the laws of physics that we haven't discovered yet that are very, very different from what we've discovered up to this point, then right. those wormholes are not possible. So, okay. I mean, it's very right. unlikely that there could be such things.
Well, here's the thing.
You know, they're mathematically interesting to talk about, but very unlikely that they're possible. Yeah.
My guest today is Dr. Stephen
Clark. Cold water.
No, Doc. I love the conversation. Look, we want truth, right? That's what we want.
Yeah.
We want to understand this and explore the possibilities. Let's talk about the spiritual when we return. A number of people are on hold. I want to get them on the air. One, could these be a demonic deception? And some have made strong cases for it. I'll share a little bit of what some of those thoughts with you when we come back, and then we can also just take a look at the spiritual ramifications or implications, I should say, if indeed there are rational, intelligent beings who are visiting us. My guest, Dr. Stephen Barr, you can check him out at his website. And I want to get that right. Is it Society?
Give me your website. Catholic Scientists. Right.
.org, right?
Well, the website is just Catholic Scientists. One word, plural, CatholicScientists.org.
All right, perfect. Stay with me. We'll be back. Our conversation continues right after this.
Flying over your military bases, and you don't know what they are because they're not yours, and they exhibit potentially technologies that you don't have at your own disposal. That, to me, is a national security risk and one that we should be looking into.
You've heard the facts.
Now it's your call. Believe what you hear or doubt the evidence? Tweet us at Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. You can certainly send that tweet at Drew Mariani Show. You can call us 888-914-9149 if you're just getting plugged in. A big report about to hit the desk on Capitol Hill of our congresspeople. So that was Senator Marco Rubio that you just heard there, and he did an interview. CBS did a great package on the 60 Minutes about a week or two ago on these unidentified aerial phenomena that is taking place. And Congress wants an accounting. They want to know what the Pentagon has. What do they know? If there's another entity, if there's another nation that has made a technological leap and can operate with impunity in our airspace, we need to know about that. If this is alien, then we definitely need to know about that. As my guest today, Dr. Stephen Barr, points out, it could be friendlies. It could be our own, right? Some speculate this. They postulate that it's none of those things. It's not time travel. It's not a distant, visitor from some other galaxy. It's not another nation. But rather, it is from the dark side. It is spiritual. Now, we always look for explanations. Is it a high-flying plane, swamp gas, an electrical anomaly, an astronomical anomaly? It could be something like that. When they're discounted and you can't account for it, some argue that it's part of the great deception that's going on in the world today. And a lot of these visitors, people who claim to be abducted or have these luminous objects in the sky, they seem almost more spiritual than extraterrestrial. And when I say spiritual, here's some of the arguments that people make. These objects, these beings, they materialize, then they dematerialize like a non-physical phenomena. They often occur, some say, over occult sites such as covens. Some people claim that these aliens, these visitors haunt families. That's a big red flag for me, sometimes for generations. That speaks to me of the spiritual. And in certain cases, they even leave an odor, sulfur, which is sometimes associated with the demonic. Now, government agencies have investigated UFOs, and without finding any real conclusive physical evidence, although I guess we'll find out next week when that report drops what we're going to hear. But the other thing I found interesting, too, with some of these, over the centuries, as these accounts are reported, and just in recent days, even I should say, I had heard one person talk about the power of holy water and these blessed objects to vanquish some of these encounters. There'd be an object that would appear outside a person's home. Now, it could be psychological disturbance, could be a lot of things, but that's some of what people throw out. They think that maybe it's not alien or human, but it is spiritual, and these are demonic manifestations. Just as a Virgin Mary can appear or other objects can take place, then perhaps it's a demonic manifestation, especially these alien abductions. That should be a major red flag, because I spoke to an exorcist once who says, those alien abductions very closely mimic possessions, So I'm joined instead by a scientist, a particle physicist, and a great Catholic. He's the founder of the Society of Catholic Scientists. I hope you'll check him out as well. And he's got a big seminar, big event coming up this weekend. And Doctor, I'm going to go to the phones. We'll take some calls. But let's give another quick plug for your event, because I think that's fascinating. People want to hear what Catholic scientists have to say about this phenomenon. They can get plugged in. And then I'd love your take on the spiritual aspect of this. And we'll talk to some of our callers.
Right. So, so we're having a conference actually this weekend, coming weekend, in Washington, D.C., one of the main themes. About half the talks are on extraterrestrial life from the point of view of science, from the point of view of theology. And so people can find that. They go to our website. You can just Google Catholic and scientists, and you'll find our website, Society of Catholic Scientists. And if you look at the news and announcements, you'll see the latest announcements about the conference. You click on it, you'll see what the talks are, who's giving them, and how to live watch them by live stream. So we're very excited. Yeah. So if people are interested in this subject, so definitely listen to some of the talks at our conference. Yeah.
All right. Your thought very quickly. Well, let me grab a call, because I'm about sure you'll share your thoughts with us. Yeah. Let's grab Rose. She's been waiting in eternity. Okay. Rose, good afternoon. Good. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm calling because we know that those are demons. We are living in the end times. and, you know, the spiritual warfare is going on very strong right now. And, you know, they are trying to, because the time that it was given to the enemy is getting short. So they're trying to get as many people as they can, and they, you know, what it means is just confusing them.
Rose, thank you. For the nature of time, I'm going to take your call. I'm also going to take Donna's, because Rose says Satan's time is running short, and this is a manifestation of the demonic. Donna in Smithfield, Rhode Island, the other side of the nation. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi. I've always been very curious about the phenomenon that's happened around the Marian apparitions. One, for instance, is the Lazalet apparition that Our Lady came in an orb.
Yep.
And, of course, at Fatima, before she appeared, there were flashes of light.
Right.
And then the one at Knock, I believe, were on the idea of holographic. So the reason I bring it up is because I wonder if any of this is spiritual, especially since Scripture tells us we'll see signs in the heavens above and signs on the earth below.
All right, well said. So there you have it, Doctor. You've got Rose and Donna taking two different perspectives on it. But
I'll take a crack. I'm a physicist, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask about this particular kind of explanation. But I will say this. What is the devil trying to do? He's trying to lead people away from God, right? So, and we see that all over. I mean, if you want to see evidence of demonic activity, look at human evil. That's the place where you see evidence of it, is in sin. That's what the enemy is trying to do, is to lead people into sin. And I don't think the devil has better things to do with his time, shall we say, to put it colloquially, than to put on sort of displays, some sort of pyrotechnic displays to amaze people. Things like that. Those are parlor. He's not into parlor tricks. He's not into making people, wow, look at that thing flying very fast outside the window of my jet. That doesn't lead people into sin. That's just a parlor trick of some sort. I mean, so I don't believe this has anything, the UFO sightings have anything to do with the forces of evil. With the forces of evil, you don't have to look at, you know, have declassified reports from the Pentagon to find the evidence of the devil. Look around you. Just look at human behavior every day. And you will see evidence of the forces of evil at work, of Satan at work. So I think people are looking in the wrong places for that. It's not to be found in some report buried in the Pentagon. It's to be found right outside your house, right in your family maybe, or in your neighborhood, or in your workplace. That's where the devil is at work all the time.
Yeah, I love it. Very well said. Very well said. Our next call comes from Sonny, listening in Austin, Texas. Sonny, thanks for your patience.
Hey, Drew, great conversation. I appreciate your guests and appreciate your callers. Ever since I was a kiddo, I have always thought these kind of things had a spiritual component. But I do have a question that maybe could be addressed by a physicist. Regardless if this is an intelligent life or a spiritual phenomenon or something, you know, man-made, since, you know, what we know from what we're seeing in the videos, you know, about there's no exhaust, so it contradicts, you know, what we know about air travel. And since we know almost as little about our own oceans as we do about space, and since the oceans make up 80%, you know, when you have the stories in the Bible, Leviathan coming from the water, and you see in the video these things disappearing into the water in some cases, what about the origin of these things being in the oceans instead of from some far away system in space?
Good question.
Well, that's an interesting question. Now, I am not a geophysicist, so, you know, or a oceanographer. That's not my field of science. But sad to say, the Earth has been mapped pretty extensively. So, I mean, and I think the oceans have been, at least, I mean, if there were, say, a civilization living in the ocean somewhere, you know, it would have been found. That is, I mean, unless they're tiny, the size of ants or something. But I guess most of these UFOs are fairly large objects that we've seen at quite a distance. So I think we would be talking about cities or structures that they would have built under the ocean that would be quite large. Right. I don't think in this day and age that such things would have gone unnoticed. I mean, there's the oceans have been mapped. Yeah.
But to Sonny's point, Doctor, it would be a great place for an alien craft or a small,
The navies are have done. There's always searching. We're searching for Russian submarines, and they're searching for us. And
that's
and
true.
There's a lot of military stuff going on under the sea and detecting, and anything that was happening down there would make a considerable amount of sound, and I really don't think it would go undetected.
We'll soon find out what the government knows. UFOs, some surveys indicate 8 million Americans have had an encounter with a UFO, so I know a lot of people will be interested. You can go to our Twitter, SoundOff, let us know if you think UFOs are demonic deception, and if you missed the conversation or want to revisit it, hit my podcast. This show will be up in about an hour. Jake will get it there. It's relevantradio.com. Just look for my podcast. Until we talk again, God bless.